From Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are, it's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
All right, and hello, everybody. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks so much for everybody tuning in tonight. As you know by now, this show is for all you songwriters and musicians and performers out there who are just trying to figure stuff out and how things work here in Music City.
That's right. Now, remember, we have no idea what we're doing. We're out there slinging songs during the day just like you guys are.
That is so true.
But we are able to find the very, very smart and talented people, bring them into the studio, pick their brains, and give you the opportunity to jump into the conversation as well.
Absolutely. You can do that by logging onto Facebook right now. Facebook.com/The Music Row Show. You can like us and join in the conversation. And don't forget Twitter. You can also find us there at The Music Row Show.
Hey, and in case you haven't heard, if you are a Dish subscriber, you can watch us on TV now because Blue Highways TV Network is now on Dish.
Yeah.
23 million homes around the country.
That is so awesome. That's right. And for the first time ever here in Nashville, we're on four times a week, channel 73 all over the U.S. And like I said, the first time ever here in Nashville. So finally, people will believe us that we actually, you know, are doing this because, you know, before now, it's like, yeah, sure, you're on TV.
Sure, you're on
TV.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got a big show tonight.
We
Great show. We've got one of our favorite voices, star of last season's America's Got Talent, Emily West, is here with us in the studio here in the first hour.
Yes, and then we're going to be talking with hit songwriter and guitarist extraordinaire Larry Cordle in hour two.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
That's going to be awesome. Yeah. All right, Scott, why don't we get to it? Do the honors here.
Yeah, you know, years ago, both Hino and I worked at Clear Channel. We sold advertising there in here in Nashville, and every week there was some new next big thing coming in to sing a few songs for us, and usually they were... usually whatever, but they brought pizza, so we were always excited about that because, you know, we sold radio, so we
don't
were broke.
Eat much. Yeah.
and most of them were forgotten immediately, but every now and then someone came in and just blew us away. And our guest tonight was one of those that we never forgot, and she was here for a while after going through the Music City machine.
Yep.
She moved to New York City, and the next thing we know, she's killing it on a big national TV show, America's Got Talent,
right,
like you said, and taking the country by storm, and she's coming off that awesome run on TV, and in just 2 weeks is going to be dropping her new album, All For You, which is available for pre-order now on iTunes and Amazon.
Nice.
But here in a couple weeks, you'll be able to get it everywhere, and we couldn't be happier for her. She's a neat person, and it's a pleasure. Pleasure to say, Emily West. We're glad you're here, and welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thank you,
Yay,
guys, so much.
Here, you guys
it's
can
honor
clap.
To be here.
Okay. Oh, listen to that audience.
You welcome up. That's awesome. So, the last time you were on with us, you were definitely pursuing the country music path as an artist, and you've kind of evolved into a different genre now, which I love. By the way, everything I've heard is awesome.
Thank you.
Talk about that decision to reinvent yourself and how you went about it.
Well, it was a big transition for me. I was always told in my Music Row, you know, times where I was trying to write a song, a hit, you
right.
know, 16th Avenue, and it was at 10:30 a.m. and I'm like, we have to write a hit. And the pressure of fitting into a box just kind of got to me. And everyone was like, man, you need to be on Broadway. You're like a Bette Midler. I was kind of unboxable. And I was trying to be this one artist, you know, that mm-hmm. just wrote about tractors or, you know,
pickup trucks,
whatever. But like, ironically enough, I released the Rocks in Your Shoes song, which, you know, kind of talks about feeling sorry for yourself. And, you know, it's kind of, I lived that song out after
right.
I moved to New York. I guess I could have felt bad for myself, but
right.
I was like picked up and I never came home. And New York taught me about just making decisions and how you can't really be a slow thinker there. You have to really know what you want if you move to New York. And that's why I decided to go on a show, because I was what else is there to do? I was like, maybe I'll be on a YouTube and I'll have like a couple thousand plays and, you know, maybe get an audition on a Broadway or something.
Right, right.
And then it led to me like getting second place and, you know.
That's awesome.
Kind of recreating a new vibe. So,
But was there ever a thought in your head, okay, I need to forget that genre, find a new genre or just find a different voice?
I didn't have it figured out. I knew that I'm such an emotional singer. I really need to believe everything I sing. I think that's one of the big, you know, things about being an artist is if I feel like a lot of people can believe it or they can't believe it, you
right.
know, and I stopped believing in a lot of the stuff I was writing. And so I didn't really set out to go, this is the kind of artist I'm going to be. I just took one step and I just said, okay, I'm not going to sing anything I don't believe in. And I'm not going to try to write a hit. I'm just going to proceed and singing things that mean things to me, you know, mean something to me.
Right.
So, that's what I write. And that's what I like to cut other people's songs as well. But, it gets on my nerves when I have to sing something I don't believe in. And I stopped believing in the stuff that I was singing, so then I moved to New York and I tried to figure it out. I worked at a boutique most of the time in New York.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
I was like, okay. You know, hanging out with Bette Midler, but I wasn't. I was very lonely.
What was the time she stopped in to buy that blouse or something, right?
Yeah, no, I never bought anything. No. I bought like maybe a sandwich if I could afford it. It was so expensive living in New York.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been writing a lot with Kevin Rhodes, and who's with me today, and he's the guy here. Kevin, say hi.
Hi, how are you?
He's the guy that kind of told me, you know, you don't need to, you can be a character in all your songs too. And so we started kind of writing this different kind of style, and I'm not afraid of just becoming like switching characters, I guess. I like to act out different things. I don't need to be.
That's interesting. No, that does make sense because, you know, some artists don't do that, and they would never, you know, sing a song where maybe the character is bad because, you know, they would never do that, or
right.
it would make them look bad.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, singing, you know, a song like, you know, Johnny Cash, I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. Well, he, you know, wouldn't do that, but that character would.
Absolutely.
Sure. They were singing characters back then, but yeah. Seriously, nowadays it's like, oh, no, so-and-so would never sing that song.
Well, it's a lot about brands, and I think,
exactly.
you know, you have to brand yourself with, you know, Carrie Underwood, like, she's very brandable. She's the good girl. She's the big, you know, I put my hair in a ponytail. I have big hair, too, if I want to have big hair.
There it is. Look at that.
My brand just changed.
Wow.
Oh,
who are
boy,
you?
Look at her. She transcends. Those of you listening in the car, I just took my
trust me, it was amazing.
I know, right?
It was
like a butterfly just came to life just now, yeah.
But yeah, so I've found that I like to become different people.
Hmm.
And that's that. I'm unboxable.
Nice.
Unboxable.
I like
unboxable.
That. That might be the title of your next
maybe
album.
Maybe.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's write that.
She should have won.
Kevin, no.
She should have won. Should have been my album.
That's what
yeah.
That'll
I went
show
to a garage sale, and they're like, "Are you Miss Emily?" And I was like, "Gonna buy a bike for $65." She goes, "Are you Miss Emily?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, "You should have won." And I'm gonna hear that for the next 5 years.
Yeah, everywhere we go, like we were in Florida, and these people come up, "Are you Emily West?" You should have won. And we were like, "Your album should have been called You Should Have Won."
You should have won. Well, let's. You know what? I was gonna save this for later, but actually, let's talk about this because. I know back when Nashville Star was a TV show here, if you remember that, we had some friends that were in that, and we found out that if you won, you had to have an album in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
It was like rah, it had to be done in no time. And so we were actually with our friends that were in it, we were always like, get to second or third. And then when it got to the finals, you're like, don't win. Please don't let him win. Please don't let him win. I mean, it seems like you actually had time to do something that you wanted to do here. Whereas maybe if you won, there would have been more pressure to, okay, now,
yeah,
this has to drop immediately.
Slap something out there real fast.
Yeah.
Is that the case? And that shows a little different because there's so many different types of artists.
Yeah, no, I mean, with America's Got Talent, it wasn't just like singers. It
right.
was a ton of, so it was interesting. A lot of kids mm-hmm. watch it, and like a lot of, I don't know. I feel like I did a pledge campaign after I won. I called my friend Dustin Ransom, and I was like, hey, is there any way we could do an acoustic record to try to get it like out as soon as possible?
Mm-hmm.
He's really quick, and I feel like we could have done covers quick, but then Sony Masterworks got involved and it kind of prolonged everything. I feel like everything works out for a reason, honestly.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't really like to think about all the things that could have happened, although I should have won. I'm kidding.
You should have won.
I mean, let's just face it.
I mean, come on.
But no, I really don't like to think about the could have.
It's okay.
But yeah.
Well, what I love about your voice, I mean, there's a lot of singers who are so interchangeable. You hear a song and sometimes you don't know who the artist is until the announcer tells you, or you look it up on your car stereo or the readout. But you, your voice, if I hear you sing and I know it's you, right from the, even if I've never heard the song before. When did you come to realize that you had something different from the rest of the folks in the school choir and stuff?
Oh, well, I would imitate people. I actually was in a pageant in Muscatine, Iowa, and because my sister was in one, and I didn't even know I could sing. I just got this tape of Patsy Cline, and I started doing an impersonation of her, and I sang Walking After Midnight, and then I started taking voice lessons in a mall, and then I came to Nashville, and this producer was telling me, you need to find your sweet spot. And I never knew what that meant, but it was, the sweet spot meant like you need to just figure out who you are as an artist. And, you know, I still change daily. I mean, just depending on the song that I sing, but I feel like I found my sweet spot after all these years of like what I am as an artist. But it takes time, you know. It's a journey.
It's a journey. Well, describe Emily West that first moved to Nashville from Iowa. I mean, what do you vividly remember about those first few months here?
Wow. Well, I graduated high school early when I was 18, and I came here to visit. And the same thing with the New York experience. I came here to visit, and then I almost ran into Mark Wright, who is the big producer, you know, that produced I Hope You Dance. And he was like, what are you doing in Nashville? And I was like, well, I think I'm going to move here. He goes, well, you need to just move here. So I told my mom and dad, you know, to pack up everything.
Send my stuff.
I still have the list of things for them to pack, the wicker dresser and all this stuff. And just the naivete of a young, vulnerable mind. I had no fear. And a lot of people thought I was crazy. But I really do feel like once you are unafraid, that's when really things start to turn around. And I just never went back home. Same with the New York trip. I just went to play a gig and I never came home. I packed a bag bigger than a 3-day trip and I never came back until the sandwich money ran out.
But you knew when you were leaving for that trip, did you know you weren't coming back, or did you decide that while you were there?
I decided while I was there. Wow. I still make decisions like, yeah, Kevin, I don't know. Do you want some coffee? I don't either. Like I don't really make decisions great. I mean, I'm not really great at making decisions.
They just happen.
They kind of are impromptu, but those are the big decisions I've made that, you know, went all right. But when I moved here, I had no idea how to pay a bill. I got my car repossessed. You know, I had no idea that they were going to take it away. And then, you know, just little things that you learn as, you know, you get older. You got to pay your bills and your taxes and figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they frown on you.
So many inquisitive people outside.
I know. We're looking at all these people.
Kind of a fishbowl.
Hi.
So, as you know, Scott mentioned you when you came to town, and now there's always been a lot of female singers in town trying to get that, you know, gig, kind of get that first big break. And very few on the radio compared to men. There's a lot more male artists, it seems like. So how did you go about trying to stand out from the crowd to get noticed in that sea of talent that is here?
Well, I think I always, even in the country, I mean, I one day will make a country record. I'm not, but I feel like I just, I was authentic and I just tried to be, I would literally read my diary and treat a co-writers and, I don't know. I didn't really look at the other side of the street.
Wait, back up. You read your diary?
I would read my diary entry to everyone that would listen, and we would literally take lines out. And Kevin knows a lot about it. We would talk about all the guys
I've read
I
your
dated.
Diary.
Wow. Pretty much.
And it sounds like most of your listeners have, too.
I have to tell you, this guy never called me back. Let's write about it. Anything for a song.
That jerk.
I don't do that anymore, but if it... when I was younger, I did anything for a song.
Sure.
But, you know, just it's
worked for Taylor Swift.
I think
Swift,
that's the biggest mistake you can make is looking at other people and comparing yourself. Mm-hmm. I think if you move to town and you want to be an artist, even after Spotify, you still have it in your heart to,
yeah,
you know, have a huge house because you're going to make it because you believe in the music. I really do feel like you can completely make it as long as you work hard and you honestly have a vision of who you are.
Right.
Whether it's unboxable or boxable, mm-hmm. You know, and really just stay true to who you are and just cut great songs. That's what Nashville is about. I mean, when I was in New York, I really missed the craft of Nashville songwriting. There, you can't get any better people in music than Nashville people.
Yeah.
I missed my friends, and I was like, I've got to move back to Nashville to be a songwriter, to write with my friends that I love. You know,
yeah,
I
mean? Actually, we want to explore that a little bit, but we got to take a quick break. We're gonna come back in a few minutes, but we do definitely want to remind folks that our sponsor this segment is Toyota of Cool Springs. Scott and I both drive Toyotas. Very actually, I got two of them. My wife drives one.
Oh, look at you
one.
Bragging.
That's right. I got her two car, Scott. How many?
By Toyota. I'm kidding.
What was that?
I'm kidding. Toyota was the repossession of the vehicle.
Oh, I'm kidding.
Oh, well.
Wah, wah. But
that's hilarious.
The guys over at Toyota of Cool Springs is our sponsor. They're great folks, and we love I'm in the market for a new car here pretty soon, and that's where I'm going to go.
Are you really?
Low pressure, and they've just been so great to deal with over the last year.
Well, and look, they have a lifetime warranty with unlimited miles on every new car.
And unlimited time, too.
What do you mean amazing? Unlimited time?
Time or miles, yeah.
Isn't that what I just said? Look, there. Medication. They also have a 3-day exchange policy.
So 3 days.
3 days, so not unlimited time.
No,
you have 3 days.
3 days, Scott. Figure it out.
Look, go
days.
See our friend George. He's the owner. He's going to take really good care of you on the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. That's toyotaofcoolsprings.com.
That's right. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with Emily West. So come on back.
So this is love, so this is pain. I'm too tired to be brave. As hard as you fall, that's how you break. Over and over until it's too late. The battle was over, the blood never dried. The gate was left open.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's bitter. We're here with Emily West, recording artist, and that is her. Her singing. You're not bitter now.
So strange.
It's Cher.
Cher. If I could turn back time.
Wow.
That's awesome.
If I could find a way.
Of course, I put headphones on and I can hear myself. I'm going to do all my impersonations.
Perfect. If you could do the rest of the interview.
Connection is bad. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Something caught. The studio caught on fire.
Oh, don't say that.
No, I didn't.
Jonathan will come running in.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, we're here with Emily West. That is, by the way, your new single.
It is.
Bitter.
I'm single. Oh, it's my new single.
It's your new single.
Your newly single.
Single.
Yeah.
Bitter.
It's my single.
Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you.
And now is that available as well?
It is. It's actually on the new record coming out August 14th. And apparently it's the charts. It's like 32 on the charts.
Look
nice.
At you.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm on Delilah, maybe.
Delilah. Wow, Delilah. Hey, we're talking with Ed. Ed, tell us more about your beautiful wife.
Well, Ed and I, you know, I love Delilah. She's my comfort zone.
Is she?
She's a white noise. Like, she's just so calm.
I'm sure she would be very happy to be described that way.
She's
she's something else. We love you, Delilah. We really do. So again, Emily West, she has a website, by the way.
EmilyWestOfficial.com.
There you go.
Yes.
And she does the Twitters and the Facebooks and all those other things,
the
too.
Instagram.
Speaking of Instagram and Facebook, we've been Facebook friends and MySpace friends
all the
years ago. And I've had the pleasure of, I was watching your videos as you were experiencing New York right after you moved there. And there's one that you're kicking garbage piles on the street and singing Petula Clark
at the top of your lungs.
Talk about just taking the city in and how it influenced you creatively, because you looked so happy
to be there. I was so happy. I couldn't believe my life. Downtown, things will be great. It really was one of the best times of my life. I was terrified and scared and so excited about a new start. And yeah, I was kicking cans and singing Petula Clark. A new start, Petula Clark. That kind of rhymes.
There you go.
Wow.
That could be a line in Unboxable.
Unboxable. Yeah.
Well, and we just went to New York, and truly, there's just garbage piled on the sides of the street waiting for garbage day. And so I'm when I saw it, I actually thought of you kicking the garbage and dancing around on the streets.
I was singing for pizza and homeless because I didn't know my ATM passcode and so I had to sing for a slice. And I sang to like homeless men and I didn't even care. I think that's a video as well. I think I might have been drunk when I was doing that. But anyway.
Drunk on life.
Drunk on life.
Right.
Online.
And
drunk
vodka.
Online. I mean,
and,
all,
well,
online.
Yeah. Life.
Bud
when
Life.
I sang the
Bud
homeless
life.
Man, I think I was on Bud Life.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Well, you guys feel like playing a tune for us?
Absolutely.
We got this poor guy sitting here with a guitar ready to go.
Poor guy. Speaking of homeless men, here's Kevin.
Hey, yo.
Hey.
This is K.S. Rhodes, everyone. And we write a lot together. And, you know, we talked about being character. Well, we were driving down the street and Kevin had it's a really beautiful love song. Kevin, do you want to take it off from here?
Take it off?
Whoa. It's not that kind of show.
I mean, I know it's videoed, but.
Yeah.
Well, no, we started writing this song. This is the second song Emily and I wrote together. We've written about 15 songs. And the second song we wrote together was this. And we got the first two verses done and we're almost done with the song, but we had to leave.
Right.
And kind of couldn't. I was like, what's going to make this song special? And it just was a real sweet sort of sentimental song about mm-hmm. someone. And then I was driving down the street and sort of the last verse just hit me.
Oh.
And I got it. It's our M. Night Shyamalan sort of things going on. So I can't spoil it. We might as well play it.
Yeah.
So what's this called, Emily?
This is a song called Fallen.
Sometimes he does it, he don't even know. That's when he catches me off guard. He pulls his jacket on and he says, we've gotta go. I've fallen, fallen, fallen hard. Comes home with sunburns on his shoulders. I love the way he mows the yard. What will he be like when he is older? Ooh, I've fallen, fallen, fallen. He brings me violets and daffodils. He stole from someone else's yard. He smiles at me, you know it kind of kills. He's always breaking my heart. Kitchen, lonely, cleaning up the place. He's out drinking in a bar. All my friends all ask me how I got these bruises on my face. I say it's from falling, falling, falling hard. Ooh, from falling, falling, falling hard. Ooh, from falling, falling, falling hard.
Wow. Woo! Wow, wow, wow.
I was like, Kevin, I don't want to be beaten.
Yeah, man.
I had a hard time with it. He goes, you need to just become a character. And that's what I learned about.
Well, it was where the character in that song needed to go. And if, so at first, Emily didn't want the third verse to be
it.
Like that. She was
it.
Like, no, I don't like it. And I was like,
right.
Sing it one time. And if you don't like it, we'll do something different. And then you sang it.
And then what happened?
And you were like, oh, I get it now.
Hey, you do impressions too.
I do impressions of Emily.
That's a great Emily West right there.
Oh, I get it.
Kevin, like, is a, you know, the Ron Burgundy, the Anchorman, how we, like,
Emily's like that.
Verbatim.
Right.
He'll write lyrics down, and I'm like, I don't like it. And then I'll sing it, and I'll sing the melody. I'm like, oh, I like it. You know? Just sing whatever.
Well, and Emily's like Ron Burgundy. Like, she'll, if whatever goes down on the very first work tape, that's how she learns a song forever. You cannot change it.
Yeah,
so
that's
you cannot send her home with a work tape if it's not the how it's meant to be. In fact, there's a song on there's a song that still is. You won't do it like it wasn't after the work tape. After
I'm perfect, Kevin. Everything I do.
So, what you're saying then is that she boxes herself in.
In
the unboxable lady.
I'm unboxable.
Boxes herself in.
No, it's like there's a Ron Burgundy thing you did the other day.
Excuse me while I chew on my number two sucker for second place. Number two on it.
For those of you listening, she's got a lollipop here in the studio to keep herself company.
Oh, why did you ruin that? People could have just pictured their own.
Have dirty minds.
Okay, stop that. Let's talk.
That's why. So I'm just curious, you know, when you got to New York as a singer and as an artist, what was the toughest part of finding your groove out there versus here, for example?
Oh, wow. I mean, anytime I try to be a part of normal society, I get really nervous. Mm-hmm. So I had to get a job. I mean, I literally moved there. I didn't get on the flight the next day. And I had to find a job. And so I worked for this company, Goldie Mac, and it was a boutique place. And I was always screwing up, like, completely, because I was trying to be part of the normal people.
What were you selling? You said it was a boutique.
Clothes. And people would come in and be like, hello, can I help you find anything? You know, and it was just, they were like, you know, they're New Yorkers. They don't really, they're exhausted. They don't really want you to entertain them. They just get a shirt.
Yeah.
So my bosses were like, you got to stop.
Yeah. Tone it, dial it back.
Dial it back. But it was just a really fun time. It was also, I didn't know where to go. Should I try to meet people? I had no idea. I felt like a little kid in a candy store in New York. But what was the question again?
Well, I mean, just from a musical standpoint, how tough was it to find your groove? I mean, were there places that you went to try to sing or try to get gigs? Or, you know, like here in Nashville, you go to all the different places and there's songwriter nights going
everywhere.
Were you
playing in Greenwich? Were you playing in...
I was playing at the Birdland.
Okay.
Every Monday night, there's a really great night, and it's for... there's a full band up there, and you just kind of, like, put your request in. And Jim... is like he's the big guy. You have to like say, hey, Jim, can I sing? And Laurie White actually is,
she
connected us. So she told Jim that I was all right of a singer. So I sang a Barbara Streisand song and I got to go there every Monday night and it was great. And that's kind of the bluebird of New York is Birdland, which
there
is
you go.
Bird.
Weird.
You
know? Wow.
Yeah.
Coincidence? I think
completely.
Not.
Completely. No. And I would, yeah, I just kind of, I don't know. What else did I do? I don't really, it was such a blur. That's the only time I really sang was at Birdland.
Oh, okay.
Talk
about and the garbage.
And the garbage. And just
and
a
homeless garbage
man as well.
And a homeless man for pizza. talk about the music communities. You mentioned that you missed the songwriting tribe here. What were the differences? Because, you know, they are both music hubs.
Right. It's a different kind of scene there. I wasn't even really creating when I was living in Manhattan and Brooklyn. I literally was just trying to make my... And I know this is... I'm not really being that... I wish I did create more because it's such an incredible town. But I just felt more at home here writing. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to be among the normal people and try to pay my bills so I didn't have to come back home, which I essentially did after I was on the TV show. I'm like, I'm getting out of here. I got to go back to Nashville.
Yeah.
I didn't really write that much in New York. That's how much I miss Nashville. I missed Kevin so much.
There you go.
Well, let's take a break. We're going to come back and talk more. I want to talk about the TV process, and we just have a lot to talk about. We're here with Emily West. You are listening to the Music Row Show. Stick around. We're going to be right back.
Come with me, my love, to the sea, the sea of love. I want to tell you how much I love you.
Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
You feel like slow dancing, and this one goes out for the ladies. Ladies' choice.
This is Delilah.
Welcome
this
back.
Is a slow dance Welcome called Sea of Love on the Music Row Show. We're here with Emily West, who's singing that right there.
Hi, want to tell you. Hi.
Hi.
So unattractive. Hi.
You kind of ruined the moment there just
I'm
then.
I'm so sorry. Everyone was dancing.
Hey, lady.
Hi.
Hi. So we were actually just talking during the break. You were featured on some episodes of The Apprentice on TV.
Yes.
Which was really awesome, and your performance was great. Tell us about that experience and what it did for you,
your career. I was on with Luke Bryan.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And we had fun. I met Cyndi Lauper from that show, so mm-hmm. it was kind of a full circle moment with AGT and Celebrity Apprentice. And I got to work with Trump. And he didn't fire me. In fact, I actually won that show. That's the only time I really won.
That's right, yeah, because it was a competition between the two groups to put on a show.
Right, right. And I sang my song Blue Sky.
Which was awesome.
Luke sang Rain Makes Corn, yep. Corn Makes Whiskey. That was a long time ago, but I loved it. You can go on YouTube and watch all the scenes where Cyndi Lauper is like, look it, I didn't make it till I was 30 either. It was kind of a cool moment with Cyndi Lauper.
Wow.
I didn't make it till I was 30 either.
Well, we'd love to hear another song. I just want to keep talking, but I know our listeners want to hear you sing too. So would you sing us one more?
Do you know any Cyndi Lauper? No?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm just teasing.
No.
She's actually on the record with me as well.
I know. We're going to talk about that.
All for you. Kevin and I are going to do another one of our songs called Battles, and it's on the record. Joseph's really smart. He's good and he's got heart. His eyes are big and his bones are thin. He never has new clothes. He works a job he knows is killing him. Found out on a Sunday that he's going to lose his home. Everyone is fighting a battle of their own. Remy is a child. The teachers say he's wild. They keep him on a kind of medicine. Now he don't run around with his ear to the ground listening. He might have been Mozart, but they've turned him into stone. Everyone is fighting a battle of their own. Oh,
doubt about coming out. His father and his friends would be ashamed. He talks to God at night. If I ain't right, why'd you make me this way? He's been taught to hate. Fighting a battle, everyone is fighting a battle of their own.
So pretty.
Wow. I love that.
Thank you. Thank
Fantastic.
You.
Fantastic. That is Emily love West. That. We are listening to the Music Row Show. We got to take one more break, and we're going to be back with some more sparkling conversation with Cher.
No.
Hello.
Oh, no. No, with Emily West. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Every time I look into your lovely eyes, I see a love that money just can't. One look from you, a dream away. I pray.
Love that. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Emily West. I think that's a song called "You Got It" off of her latest project. I think we're back with Emily. We've had a lot of visitors in the last 5 minutes.
There's been a lot of voices coming in
the last 5 minutes. We've only got a few minutes left on the show, so you want to, for our listening audience, let's do a few.
Renee. Sorry, that was supposed to be Celine. For all those times you stood by me, for all the truth that you made me see, for all that joy, I can't do with Celine now.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
I can't do it. Wow. Made a fool of myself. That's on national TV.
That's Celine in the operating room or something. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, that song is off of her new Emily West's new CD, All For You. It's available for pre-order on iTunes and Amazon right now.
That's
and it
true.
Drops on August 14th.
It's starting to crown. Starting to crown.
Wow.
Boy.
Yeah. Other people drop their music.
Because I'm a queen.
That's right.
Where'd you guys go with it?
That's right. Yeah. So I would like to talk just for a second about we've heard it said from other guests that nowadays TV shows are kind of the new record label A&R because it's becoming such a viable source of talent out there, and the record labels aren't spending money to put people out there. So all of a sudden there's this other great venue for you. I mean, how do you feel about that? And what surprised you most about the TV show process?
Well, I was really scared to go on the TV show because, you know, my life was so vulnerable. It was at a vulnerable time. I, you know, couldn't afford my sandwiches in New York, and mm-hmm. I was broke, and I was, you know, 30. And I, you know, sold my car and left my dog and my parents, and I was trying to get a dream to come true. And then I was going to a show going, okay, my life is in your hands. Make me look good and edit me properly. You could take that story and make me look kind of like she's already had a record deal, you know.
Right.
She's already had her chance. You know, I was really kind of in a vulnerable state. But they really told the story well. And I was, and I think a lot of, you know, fans that, you know, didn't know anything about me, like, were inspired by the second chance of, you know, America's all about second chances. So,
sure. Yeah.
Anyway, it got a lot of people, you know, rooting for me in another way. So it was good. It was the best thing I've ever done. And it is like an A&R kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
It put you up into the mountaintop and put you in a big old red dress. By the way, is in a closet in Franklin right now. If anyone wants to come over and try it on, you're more than welcome.
Okay.
It's like a 500-pound dress. Just sitting.
Wow. Yeah, well, talk about, because to me, it seems like the most agonizing part of that process must be the song choice every week. Talk about what all goes into that behind the scenes, because that's a make or break thing every week when you're on one of these competition shows.
Right. I think the best thing with me is, and I really, when you're on a show like that, you have to be, your heart has to be so open. And you really don't have any control with editing or anything.
Right.
So you have to be the best version of yourself and be really work with the producers. And really, if you decide to go on a show, just be open and be as awesome as you possibly can, because that's going to get, you know, you, it's going to make you look good.
Right.
I mean, but like the song process, there was a lot of people, you know, I would have to learn like 30 songs, and I'd sang like Tainted Love. Sometimes I feel I got to, that was going to be one of the song choices, but
right.
We were going to slow it down and make it completely different. Like sometimes I feel, you know?
Yeah.
And they were like, you would sing it and then be like, no, cut, next. And it was like, you have to learn the song for nothing. Like, cut, cut, cut.
Oh.
But it was an intense process. But the best thing about the whole thing was I was completely, my faith was in the, like all the producers in the A&R. I really trusted them. It took a village to make me look that good. But I was also amazing as well.
Well, you know, there's that.
And modest, which we love.
Okay, so the tour starts up next month. EmilyWestOfficial.com. What are fans going to see? What should they be expecting?
Well, I'm going to be on the 10-year anniversary of AGT. The tour starts in September.
America's Got Talent.
America's
right?
Got Talent tour, mm-hmm. which I'm really excited about. And then the fall tour happens. That's going to be the winter tour. I don't really know. We're going to redo some dates. But definitely look out for the AGT tour and the album coming out. And find me on Instagram.
And where do we find you on Instagram?
EmilyWestOfficial.com.
Emily West Official?
At Emily West Official.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your Twitter? Twitter handle?
Is Emily West Music?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
man.
It is.
I don't know. Emily West Official or Emily West Music?
It's Emily West Music on
okay, it is.
Twitter.
Good. All right. Thank you. Yes.
We're here
I
for
do.
You, Emily.
Yeah.
this is my life.
Wait,
sure.
I have an album
coming out?
I was
on The
out?
Voice,
what?
Too. You can find me on The Voice. I'm
kidding. And MySpace. And
MySpace.
Yeah.
American Idol is what I got runner-up with.
We're doing European Idol next year, right?
European Idol? Yeah, I'm going to try to be the winner.
You are the winner. Emily
you
West,
winner, yeah.
You are the winner of Music Row Show's Got Talent.
That's right.
Yeah,
because
the
actually,
Music Row Show's Got Talent.
There
you guys
you
are
go.
So sweet. I feel like we had a great date.
We did have a great date.
He's going to get the
date.
Check.
Thanks. We'll pick it up because we're those kind of people. Actually, we'll let KS do it. But thanks for coming in. EmilyWestOfficial.com is the website you need to go visit and pre-order her album because it's awesome. You're going to want
right
to
listen
to that.
Go
over
do that
and over.
Right now and then
and
come
do
back.
That quickly because then you're going to want to come back because we've got the great Larry Cordell on with us in the second hour. So
yeah.
Come on back on the Music Row Show.